Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am your host today, Michelle Berquist, and I am delighted to introduce our topic today, which is we are going to be discussing an untapped revenue source most entrepreneurs haven't even thought of yet. So I get to introduce our leading lady today. It's somebody that we have had before, and we loved her so much that we said, oh my gosh, Charmaine, please come back and do this again for us. And so I am delighted to say that Charmaine Hammond, who is a professional speaker, a best-selling author, and, quote, an expert in collaboration and sponsorship with Raise a Dream, Charmaine Hammond is our leading lady today. So Charmaine, tell and say hello to all of our listeners.
Hello, and I'm so excited to be back with you again.
We're doing round two. We said we couldn't get enough of you, so we said let's have you back again because you have so much great expertise to share. It should be a good feeling, right? That or scary?
Yes. Looking forward to the conversation.
I think you've got some good things to share. I first want to just hear a little bit about Raise the Dream or Raise a Dream. This is a different organization than what we were talking about last time and what you're running. Can you share a little bit about what Raise a Dream is? Because I love the name.
We do too. Raise a Dream is my second company. I co-founded it with my business partner, Rebecca Kirstein, and we were actually introduced by a business coach that we were both seeing, seeing around the same time because he was our coach and he had met with both of us privately and then said, you two need to get together, and connected us because both of us were working in the world of sponsorship on our different projects, on our businesses, and both of us have built our businesses and upscaled our businesses through collaboration, partnership, and sponsorship. So that's how Rebecca and I got started just over a year ago, and we haven't looked back. It's been an incredible opportunity to work with entrepreneurs and small businesses to help them raise their goals, raise their dreams, launch projects, and make a difference in the world.
Oof, that sounds, sign me up. It sounds awesome. Sounds amazing. We all want to raise a dream. I just thought if you were going for that, that was my first blush response. I was like, okay, I want to be a part of it. I love it. But, you know, and thank you for sharing that. The question just to start off with is that as an entrepreneur, specifically our female entrepreneurs that are part of our listening audience, what is, Charmaine, that untapped revenue source that, you know, our lady entrepreneurs have not discovered or uncovered yet that you're going to uncover for us?
Well, that untapped revenue source that comes from collaboration and sponsorship is where a company or a brand, the sponsor, provides either in-kind support. So that could be the use of a platform that you're not paying for. One example would be my clothing. For many years, I had all of my clothing sponsored by my favorite clothing store. And still to this day, I have my hair sponsored. So my lovely head of hair that costs about $270 each time I get it done because I've gone dark and I'm blonde. And all of that is sponsored.
My I know that story.
Sponsored. My makeup is sponsored. A lot of the business supplies and business products that I use are provided to me by different companies. So in-kind sponsorship is something that a lot of businesses and entrepreneurs aren't tapping into, and mostly it's because they don't know it exists for them. When we think about sponsorship, whether it's cash or in-kind, we usually associate with that a nonprofit organization or a charity. So we don't think about that being possible for entrepreneurs.
So I'm dying to know, what was the big revelation for you to go, oh my gosh, I can start to get these things sponsored, and how did you cultivate okay, I'm going to start with one question because I asked 20 at the same time. So let's go back to my one question, which was, what was the big revelation and how you came up with this? Was it just one day you were walking down the street or somebody presented this idea to you? Or tell me the story of how this came about. What a great idea.
Well, it came about actually in 1991. So this was a long process in to this journey. But in 1991, I actually left the career that I was working in when I moved across the country. And so I actually took a job as an executive director of a nonprofit organization. And I quickly discovered that most of what my job was not running the organization. It was actually finding money. And so I learned about sponsorship. I had to secure, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in sponsorship and in-kind sponsorship. And then when I left that job shortly thereafter, I sat on the other side of the sponsorship table. I took a job working in a position where I was responsible for giving away $2.5 million a year. So that was in the form
fun.
Of grants. Yes, it is fun until you have a partner that doesn't deliver the return on investment that was supposed to happen. And that was such a valuable role for me to be in, Michelle, but I lasted 2 years. It was the most stressful job. In fact, it was more stressful than when I worked as a correctional officer. There was such
pressure. Oh, my gosh.
I know. There was such pressure.
That's no fun.
Sure. No.
Well, and I was going to say, these two programs came together. I mean, these two sides. You saw the side of not delivering, right? But even though you had money to give away, and then you see with entrepreneurs, they just didn't even think about this as a for-profit business venture? Or where did finally the light bulb go off with this for you?
Well, the light bulb went on when I opened up my own business in 1997. And I quickly discovered, like many of your listeners, how much it costs to run a business. And so I decided that I was going to take that knowledge I had around sponsorship and create my business in a collaborative way. So I started in 1997 working with different partners and sponsors. And then when my first book came out, this is where the rubber really met the road, was when 2010, when my first book came out. And I did most of my launching all through sponsorship. So I secured 40 sponsors, and all of them were people I know. So this is the big lesson for the listeners, is that many of the sponsors are so close to you. They're in your circle right now. We just have never thought of collaborating in a way that creates mutual benefit for us and for them.
Wow. Okay. Powerful, powerful, powerful. How did you, you know, what would, or bigger, I mean, I've got 20,000 questions. I'm like, ooh, yippee, yippee, yippee. Is for, let's say, a small business owner, how do you, I think backing up, what's the difference? And you use the term sponsor, partner, in-kind sponsor. Share with our listeners what the differences are in definition of those, or are they all the same thing?
Great question, Michelle. Sponsorship really, the quick definition of sponsorship is where a business or brand invests their marketing dollars. So sponsorship is not philanthropy. It's not charity. It's where a company invests their marketing dollars to projects, events, programs, launches that somehow support what's important to them, what matters to them, or solve some of their issues, like marketing issues. So sponsorship comes from the marketing line item on a company's budget. I often interchange the words partnership and sponsorship because sponsors more and more are wanting to be seen as partners on a project. They don't want to be seen as the person or the company who just cuts the check and waits for the results to happen. And at the end of the day, sponsorship really is a marketing relationship. So the sponsor is helping you at the same time that you're helping the sponsor. And that really is a collaboration. And how that collaboration is structured is by that company giving products or services in kind or cash or sometimes even a combination of both.
Wowza. Can you share just some of the different things? I know you mentioned hair and makeup for you as a professional speaker. What are some of the different sponsorship, you know, type of companies or products or services that you know, from kind of that are general, or is it specific to every business? Like, what would be some of the different sponsorship type things that a small business owner or female entrepreneur could actually think of that they would go out and try to find a sponsor for? How do you come up with that list?
Well, yeah, part of it is we always teach our students at Raise a Dream to look at the first list is what are all the things that you need and use? So let's say you're an entrepreneur that's holding an event. What is it that you use and need at every single event, from name tags to food to venue space to banners, promotion, website? So whatever your business is, you want to think about what are the areas where a sponsor could provide you with some kind of support. Some examples of our Raise a Dream students, one of our students actually had her speaking fee covered. She was going to a conference where they had no budget to pay her as a speaker, and it was her perfect audience. And one of the companies that she was familiar with and had a relationship with, which is the key, was able to cover her speaking fee and all her travel. So what you can get sponsored can be anything from your hair to your clothing to your business needs to your travel to your event needs. And the key is that it's a relationship. So that's how the sponsorship really works, is by really understanding the company that you're approaching, building that relationship, and finding out a way to structure the relationship so that it's mutually satisfactory. It's benefiting you and the sponsor at the same time.
And I think the win-win is great. But, you know, for, let's just say, and I know there's a lot here that you're talking about for someone who's a speaker, but let's say it's a small business owner who's, I don't know, can any business be getting sponsorships? Like if you're a landscaper or if you are a consultant and maybe you don't do speaking, how would you look at creating a sponsor list that way? Same thing, just as far as what you use and what you need, and you start with that list?
Yes, and how we structured it, when my sponsors first came on ages ago, 2010 when my book came out, it was started from a conversation. So what I learned very, very quickly is that sponsors are interested in you because you provide them with something that they might not be able to do on their own. So for example, even putting my speaking aside, just my business as a business, there I have an audience just like each of you, and you've got an audience, Michelle. Often a sponsor is attracted to the audience that you have. So that could be your customers, your clients, the people that are on your database, the groups and individuals that follow you on social media. So for different businesses, one of our students actually is a social media expert and also has a web design company. So she has most of her platforms covered by sponsorship. So the platforms that she uses to create different products, web products for her own clients are sponsored. And where this becomes really, really cool is that the reason they said yes to provide her with all these platforms and tools that she needs to do the work with her clients is that those companies are getting something in return. And what they're getting is direct access to her audience, to her clients, being able to market their platforms in different ways through her.
Yeah, and that, I think that's awesome because, you know, what's interesting is that we started out that way as an association where we really focused on, you know, offering a partnership to our what we called sponsors, and we called them in-kind sponsors. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for our listeners, maybe you could allude to something that would be more like how sponsors, how can we as the owner bring benefit to them? Like what are they looking for? Are they looking for a mailing list? Are they looking for something else? I'm kind of curious.
Love that question because you're getting down to the process. Like, what are the actual steps that we take to make this stuff happen? So we teach actually a 7-step model, and the first part of the model is identifying and researching. So that's what you've just said, identifying who these potential businesses are, where there's potentially a fit or some synergies, researching the company so you know enough about them to be able to have a conversation with them. And that conversation is called the discovery call, and it's all about learning about that other business. So in terms of what we could offer a sponsor, or reversing the question, what they want from us in exchange for sponsorship, is it's often going to be really unique to that company. So while we could assume having a logo on a website, for example, putting a sponsor's logo on my website and on my banners or on my promotion materials, that might sound great, but that might not be at all what the sponsor needs. And maybe I'll share a story that really gelled this for me. It's going to be a weird story because I'm going to talk about dog poop for a minute. But I have several books that are about my dog, Toby. And when we went on our speaking and book tour, we had a pet poop bag company, a dog poop bag company, approach us to collaborate and to be part of our tour, and they became a sponsor. And from talking to Paul, he owns the original poop bag, from talking to the owner, when I was saying, what would help? How could we market you? How could we bring you in front of the audience? He wasn't so interested where his logo would be placed or, you know, how we would promote him on social media, because he said people don't go buy dog poop bags because of the logo. They buy dog poop bags because they actually tried them. So he said the biggest value you could bring me would be to get people to put their hands in my poop bags and try them.
Oh, wow.
And so that's what we call sampling. It's the same thing as people with like granola bars or food products. They generally, how you can help that kind of a sponsor is providing them opportunities for their products to be sampled or tried or given away. So
that's
it really
pretty cool.
is what the
that's
sponsor
pretty cool.
needs. Yeah.
I love it. And you know, again, I can hear business owners taking like avid notes right here going, oh, this sounds so good. You know, I mean, what would be some advice you would give our listeners in putting, you know, I mean, I'm assuming there's a price associated with all these things. I know that's what we've done with our sponsor packages, but
mm-hmm.
Charmaine, what would you recommend as far as how you go out there and say, here's how much it would be, or how do you find an amicable, either in-kind or price structure with a sponsor?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a tricky question. One of the things that the sponsors are saying these days, and we've interviewed lots of them, small businesses right up to large international companies, and one of the things they are saying repeatedly is, please don't send us generic packages with gold, silver, bronze pricing models or that are generic, because it shows that you haven't customized things to what we want to see. So when mm-hmm. we talk about pricing sponsorship, it will come down to the conversations that you have with the sponsor. Now, it's really important. I'm just going to use an event host, for example. If you're hosting some kind of an event, it's going to be really important for you to come up with some idea of the value of what we call the different assets that you have. So different assets might be promoting a sponsor in an email blast or putting the sponsors signage around or allowing the sponsor to have 5 minutes on the stage time. Each of those kind of costs a different amount, but a lot of that, so you're going to first of all come up with some figures in your mind that help you understand what you believe the value to be. But when you're talking to sponsors and really finding out what they hope to see out of partnering and collaborating with you and what that sponsorship would look like, the pricing happens from what you and the sponsor determine the arrangement's going to be. So that's where it gets into those really specific conversations.
Well, and that gets into, for me, with you, because I know this is now, I mean, through Raise a Dream, this is what you specialize in. But, you know, do you have a book on the subject? It's like, what do you have as a resource tool? Because I'm seeing that you've just finished your Sponsorship for Speakers and for Entrepreneurs booklet. Is this something that's available for people for purchase? And can you tell us a little bit about it? You know, let's just go there.
You bet. Well, we've got on our website, you can raiseadream.com, you can actually download a really super short but explanatory ebook about what sponsorship is and how it works. And following us on Facebook is a great way to actually get ongoing tips and information. And we do have the booklets available, but we also do workshops and retreats where we can actually take the students right through the whole 7-step model, but also let them hear from sponsors. I'll tell you, Michelle, that's one of the most exciting parts of our program is when we bring ours or different sponsors that we're not working with, but we bring companies into the program so that the students can actually ask the sponsor questions and really learn how the sponsors think, how they talk, what they focus on, how they share what matters, because it really there's what we hear from our students a lot of times is that they're really great with the identifying the potential sponsors. They're great at doing research. And then when it comes time to pick up the phone and make that phone call, they go back and do more research because the phone call is usually, the phone call is, sometimes people don't know what to say and what to ask. And those are some of the things that we help students understand. But the cool part of, I think what one of the things I like best about this sponsorship and how it relates to business is that it's kind of like a wash, rinse, repeat process. It's the same 7 steps that you can use over and over again. It's just that the people you're speaking to are different, the businesses are different, and what you arrange with them might be different.
I love that. You know, I have to tell you, I was on the board of a chamber of commerce quite a few years ago, but I remember one of the things that this chamber did, and to me, I learned a big lesson from it, is they went out, and we did this in the very beginning in our association, but they went out and they tried to get sponsorships, which were in-kind, which means they didn't pay, and they offered in-kind sponsorships for the audio-visual to their larger events. And I remember by being on the board, they would continue to come up with the challenges because these companies would come in and they'd say, well, we're looking for ROI, right, a return on investment.
Yep.
And even though the events were spectacular, I think the challenge for the chamber was how they just found that the audiovisual company was never getting ROI, and they burned out all of their members that were audiovisual companies because they were always looking for this for free. So I'm curious in that scenario, or even just maybe as a kind of trouble solution thing, what would you recommend for a chamber or a group or even a business like that where, you know, you're like, what is it you offer them? And then if they're not getting ROI, how do you determine whether that's working or not? Because you can offer a benefit all day long, but if the company's not finding value, they're going to move on.
Exactly. That you have just hit on something so important. So when one of the things that I do when I'm talking with sponsors and learning about how they market, so I ask questions like, who is your target audience and how do you market to them? What social media platforms are you on and what kind of engagement are you looking at? So I ask a lot of open-ended questions to find out what ROI is going to feel like for them. What does that look like for them? And then I over-deliver. So one of the companies that was our sponsor said the biggest ROI that I could give them, they didn't really care where their logo was because their logo told nothing about what the business was. You know, it was a diagram that unless you knew who it was, it didn't make sense. Sort of like, you know, any logo that doesn't have a word attached to it. So they said logo recognition has zero value to us. What does have value is social media and, most importantly, being able to engage your audience through polls and contests and giveaways. So we worked with that particular company to do polls and contests and giveaways, whereas other sponsors that I was working at, they had a completely different set of ROI. One of them actually wanted videos. They wanted to have a little blurb at the end of some of our videos that said sponsored by so-and-so. And we worked with a couple of AV companies who have continued to support us in kind way. And one of the ROIs that we did is we actually allowed the sponsor, the AV team, to be part of the presentation. So they came up onto the stage for about 7 minutes and they provided the audience tips. When you're hosting an event, whether it's a wedding or a business event, here's some tips to make your audience feel loved and leave bragging about your event. So they talked about AV tips, and that 7 minutes on the stage landed them a number of other paid engagements.
Yeah, so that makes sense right there. It's coming back to it's different for every business because, you know, I think we may even know this person in common, but I don't want to say her name. But I was at an event probably 5 months ago, and there was a woman who's very well known in the Southern California area. And she was walking around and she was saying, she goes, hey, check out my shoes. And I'm like, what are you saying? And she goes, check out my shoes. And I'm like, okay. I go, what? And I did. And then I said to her, and I go, and why am I doing this? She goes, oh, well, this is my new sponsor. And I laughed because I thought that was right after I did the radio show with you initially, and I went, yeah, this is an interesting topic, because she had her shoes sponsored for where she was speaking, and she was definitely getting everyone to put all of their eyes on her feet, and it was working. So it was pretty cute. And I went, okay, that's awesome.
And too funny, you know, right? One of the reasons it is, I love that example, Michelle, because it gets to the fact that a lot of how we can support a sponsor is by storytelling. You can be a powerful messenger for your sponsors. You can tell the world how awesome your sponsor is, but your sponsor can't tell the world how awesome they are, because then they would sound arrogant. But we become a storyteller. So you can tell a sponsor's story through video or social media posts, putting a recommendation for them on their website and on different recommendation platforms. Over-deliver. There's so many things you can do that won't cost you a cent, but your sponsors will love you. And we're still promoting the sponsors from our Million Acts of Kindness tour, which was 2.5 years ago. Those contracts are long ended. And I still promote those groups because I want to work with them again.
What, and you know, we've only got a few minutes left, Charmaine, but I'm really curious what, you know, in the situations you've been in with some of your, you know, clients and helping them with develop their sponsorship side, what are some of the things you've seen, maybe the top three of what to avoid? You know, you've seen kind of disaster that happens, you know, so that our entrepreneurs can keep this in mind. I always want to know what not to do, what to do all the time. The to do we have, but what not to do is probably a minefield to avoid.
Perfect. And I'll do these real quick for you. And I've made every one of these mistakes more than once. So I'm going to say the three mistakes that I've made that sponsors, we've interviewed sponsors on, and it drives them crazy as well. Number one is asking for money before you have a relationship. It just never works. And I always get you to think about, what do you feel like when somebody phones you at 8:00 at night asking you for money and you've never heard of the organization or never met them? We generally say no. And sponsors are the same. If you ask for money without a relationship or without knowing anything about the company, it is probably most definitely a no. So avoid that. Number two is not researching the sponsors. Sponsors love it when you can demonstrate that you've taken time to research them, learn about them, follow them on social media, and be able to talk with them in a way that you're educated somewhat about their business. So that's the second mistake, is people not researching their sponsors. And the third mistake is sending out generic proposals, especially that have gold, silver, and bronze levels. So a generic proposal that hasn't been customized. And one of the sponsors we interviewed for our book said it so well. She said, if you were sending us a proposal asking us for $2,000 or $10,000 or whatever the dollar amount is, you're asking us to spend our time reading your proposal and having to learn who you are when you haven't spent the time to customize a proposal and learn about us. And she said, I shred them. Isn't that brilliant?
That's pretty powerful. I'm like, that really hits it on a home run. You're like, wow, yeah, that hit me. That is so true. It's like when we send out our big, you know, packages and we're like, you know, we want to, tell us about you. Let us learn about you. Wow, that's powerful.
Well, and she said she gets 20 to 40 voicemails and messages a day of people asking for money. This is a small to medium-sized company. So she gets 20 to 50 voicemails and messages and about 50 proposals a week by mail of people wanting money from them. So how you stand out is by not making those three mistakes.
Girl, say that again, because that's going to be how we're going to end the show. But I do, before you say that again, how we stand out, I want you to share, if anybody wants to reach out to you, I know we've got a link to your website, right, Raise a Dream, but how do you want people to contact you if they want to reach out to you?
You can find me on Facebook, and I'm fine with people Facebook messaging me. I respond to all of those, so you will get me that way, and you're also welcome to email me through the website, and follow me on social media, because I'm active on there. I do our social media, so you will be getting me, or if you're following Rebecca, you'll be getting Rebecca, but we will be the people that connect with you.
So cool. And I really think for every business, you need to look at in-kind sponsors, and then obviously money sponsors. Cash is king, right?
It is.
It is. Okay, leave us with something positive. I want to leave us on a high note. What's something that you can share of just drop the mic, kind of like, bam, and then we're done. What's Charmaine on
there
other
it is. One of
sponsorships?
One of my favorite quotes, and it's by Oscar Wilde, and he says, above everything, go out into the world and be yourself because everyone else is already taken. Go out there
That's
and be
so
you.
That's so good. You're amazing. You are amazing. We might do round three with you as well. I want to say thank you
Yay.
For being our leading lady. It is the weekend before Memorial Day weekend. I hope all of our listeners have fun. Remember the reason for the weekend and what Memorial Day is. It's like if you know someone who is in service, veteran or otherwise, tell them thank you for their service. And, you know, we can do what we can do because of those that went to serve. So it's an honor and a privilege to run this every single week on Fridays at 2 p.m. We're also here on Mondays at 9 a.m. And I hope all of you have a lovely weekend, and we'll see you on the next Women Lead Radio Show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.